Okay, we have a sub in today. It's Conor Malone, manager of the Ballet Theatre. Fionnuala's too busy with other things, seemingly, which is great because that means you get to come in, Conor.
Great. Good morning, Greg.
Accept our invite. And, of course, the old reliable, emphasis on the word old, Michael, and reliable, actually, Michael Leddy, a writer and also a blogger.
Hello, Greg.
Limited renowned. Thank you very much.
There you go. The honesty in that intro was searing.
It's cruel, wasn't it?
It's cruel.
He's in a zingy mood.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yep, end of the week, 2-day week. It's a nice one, isn't it? Right, okay. Come here, Michael. What have you been watching? Narvik on Netflix is back on the agenda here.
Yes, we didn't get around to it last week. Yeah, this is a brand new film on Netflix. I watched it last week, last Thursday night. It's a true story from World War II, which is one of the things that drew me to it. And it's sort of below the radar. I don't think a lot of people know about it yet, although it's getting a lot of critical acclaim. It's a Norwegian film. So it's one of those films where the original dialogue is Norwegian, and obviously you can watch it with subtitles, as I did, or you can watch it dubbed, which I did not. It's a true story from World War II, and it's a very famous, which is now, I suppose, largely forgotten, but at the time it was very famous. It was a town in Norway that was the location of Hitler's first defeat. Both the Nazi forces and the Allied forces, England, etc., were very interested in this town because it was key towards ship production, and it was a key town. The rest of the country, the rest of Norway, capitulated as soon as Nazi forces showed up. And indeed, on the night of their arrival in Narvik, the general or colonel or whoever was in charge handed over their weapon and did a very formal surrender on the street. But the sergeant... they were supposed to report back to the barracks, but the sergeant instead took his platoon out of the town and into the mountains and decided they were not going to surrender. And the townspeople joined in that as well. And they fought a resistance through the spring of that year. So this is a true story. And what the makers of this very good film have done is they have created a fictionalised family to put at the centre of it so they can tell the story that way. Mm. The husband is a soldier. The wife works in the hotel. The story is divided between the two of them, and so we get to see what happens to him and the platoon. We get to see what happens to her because she has to work with the Nazis. They take over the hotel. She works there. She's not the manageress, but her and the manageress are both featured and some of the kitchen staff. And they get to know some of the Nazis, and they have a sort of an uneasy friendship with them almost, you know. I mean, obviously they're not friends, but
like the Streisand effect or something different.
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, I know, yeah, yeah, the, yeah, I know the thing. You're Stockholm, is it? That was the Stockholm effect. That was
Stockholm.
The one? Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's kind of like me and you, Greg.
I'm
it's kind of like
us. No, I don't like being corrected.
So I thought this was an excellent movie.
Is it heavy?
It is quite heavy. It delivers on the action, which you would expect of a World War II picture. I mean, there is a sequence where, you know, the sequence we've all seen in World War II movies or war movies where they have to blow up the bridge.
Now you're right about the effect.
Before the train comes and they're climbing up, and it was really thrilling. And there's a sequence at the end where they have to storm the gun and they have to do all that stuff. But it also looks at the moral implications of what the woman has to do and how she survives in the town. I was surprised to see that in it. But I had no problem with that. It was a little heavier than I was expecting from what I thought might be a, you know, an action movie. It delivers the action, but it is thought-provoking. I definitely feel that if there had been anyone in the room, but sadly I was sitting there on my own watching this, but if there had been anyone there, I think we could have had a discussion. You would chat about...
Right. Is it not just a wee bit, you know, could you not just watch the news? No, and I don't mean that, you know...
To discuss that.
Well, to see the horrors of
the horrors of the world. Well, I mean, it's a historical piece. I mean, it's worth telling the story. And I think it's very timely because of things that are happening in all parts of the world, but specifically Ukraine.
That's what I mean.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, it's a fictionalized version of a true story, but it resonates because of what is in the news. I think it's worth watching because it does provide entertainment value.
Yeah.
But it's thought-provoking as well as giving action. I would heartily recommend this. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It delivered what I wanted, but it delivered a little bit more than what I wanted. I didn't realise it would be quite that thought-provoking. Great performances, great action sequences, And it was a story I didn't know anything about. Yeah. I didn't know that this was a turn.
And is this a big deal? Norway, you said, made this.
Yeah, Norway, yeah.
Is that a big deal? Are they? What's their reputation like for making big films?
Yeah, looking at the IMDb for the people involved in this, they have scant amount of credits. Mm. So I'm inclined to agree with you. Yeah, it seems to be, without reading into that specifically, it does seem to be a big deal, certainly for these people. Like, the lead actress has something like 4 credits, you know, the director, you know, they only have a few things. So I would imagine it's one of those things where, you know, Netflix has gotten, it's where Netflix's bucks have gone to something good. Critics have embraced the movie. Critics have said it deserves all the praise that last year's All Quiet on the Western Front, which was someone who got to say it's this year's version of that, almost, in the sense that it deserves that critical acclaim. And yeah, it's something unusual in the sense that it comes from Norway and it's Norwegian. And if nothing else, there's snow on the ground in every scene, and you don't see that in most World War II pictures. It's something different. You know, I mean, they're out in the cold.
Something tickles your fancy, Connor? People tend to, in your house, watch foreign language films and end up speaking that language, don't they, if I remember correctly?
I kind of... War films have always been a turn-off for me.
Me too. Okay. I kind of wasn't going to be that direct. It's like, oh.
Because it's like, oh, there's always sort of a preachy, goody, baddie element to it. And it's like, I know this happened. I can watch history documentaries and stuff. Mm. And if I, you know, or read a history book. So I've kind of...
Like, anything that glorifies even a battle or something, to me, doesn't rest easy with me. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but even like one person's heroic actions or a particular village, I can't stop myself, my mind going back to, well, what started this? What was the motivation? Who benefited from it? Do you know what I mean? The bigger picture clouds it for me.
I mean, I remember, I think Saving Private Ryan was my final turn-off for war films.
Yeah.
But every war film I watch... I think, you know, there nearly should be at the top of the screen these like 4 fat men moving chess pieces around the board and facing no consequences whatsoever while they send all the lads out to die, you know, and it annoys me too much.
I would love to see us have more awareness of what's going on at the moment.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Drop getting serious on it. But if you see what's happening in Eastern Ukraine, young lads and some women. In effectively, and it's a horrible phrase, meat grinders, like just literally being sent in, like the ones over the top in the First World War.
Yes,
like, in other words, we are living through it as we speak, if you know what I'm on about. Yes. Like, and I understand how but you know, there are thousands upon thousands of young people sent literally into a meat grinder. They're sent to their death, there's no doubt about it. And they're conscripted on both sides, which I don't think an awful lot of people realize there's even some talk of people who've left the area being rounded up in different countries to go back and do their thing. And as I say, I don't want to be serious on it, but I find myself in that mind space, which switches me off these types of...
And don't you just know, you know, there's groups of film executives sitting around going, hey, war is selling right now. Mm. Let's make a load of war movies.
Mm.
You know, and just that kind of cynicism.
Are we cynical, though? And I think Michael is happy?
I think there's an element there. I think if you open the door on that, then you say... We can't do war pictures because there's war in the world. We can't do crime pictures because you are.
Yeah.
You're also saying you can't do a story of where a husband abuses his wife.
No.
You are.
No,
you're opening this door
because
on that.
Because of crime is...
You're saying you can't fictionalise what's happening.
No, I'm saying you can.
You can.
I'm just not going to watch it and enjoy it.
Yes. But then some people might not want to see a misogynistic kind of story where a husband beats up his wife.
Correct. You would have to have some rich man pulling the strings, making the husband abuse his wife and getting away scot-free.
But that's if you go into that.
And then a whole group of people profiteering on it, and then
that's
maybe
the
oil
aspect
deals,
of
maybe...
the war that you're finding objectionable. But if you're saying...
Well, there's the killing as well.
Yeah, but there's
an aspect of it. But it clouds it to the point where I wouldn't enjoy it. I love one of my favourite shows, I've said it before, it's the First 48. It's horrendous. It starts with a murder every episode, right?
Yeah. And it's true,
But these are the individual actions of people. And then you could probably talk about what's happening in society that causes this to happen, and the gun culture in America. Of course you could.
Yes.
But it's just the particular things about war, how they're messaged, how they're covered in various news channels, that it all is so murky that I just wouldn't enjoy that type of film, Michael.
I'm
not saying this shouldn't be made.
Yeah.
Like Pearl Harbor, Band of Brothers.
Yes. I think it's a specific viewpoint. I mean, it is a very specific viewpoint. I see where you're coming from. But at the same time, I think, if nothing else, fiction can be cathartic. I mean, you can look at these things. I mean, you can take that, you can read that from the material, but then you can also read, should we not look at the battle of good versus evil, which happens today?
But who defines who's good and evil?
But you know, well, if people are in a town and an occupying force takes the town,
yeah.
I don't think it's that black. So I don't think it's that murky.
Right, it's individual battle within the wider context.
Yeah, it's about a housewife who basically...
Actually, it's Rupert Murdoch, isn't it? That's who defines who's good and evil.
This
has got very heavy, guys.
It is. But anyway, listen, you're giving it full marks.
Oh, full marks.
Connor's not going to watch it. I read on Cali and Kuhn celebrating winning two gongs at the Celtic Media Festival in Donegal, which is great. It won the Spirit of the Festival and Talk for Single Drama Awards at this year's event. At Unclochan Lear. It already scooped a nomination for an Oscar earlier this year and won 8 IFTAs in 2022. Was this just the darling of Irish film industry, or did it deserve all these accolades?
Deserved.
I haven't seen it.
Deserved.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't. It's the list. It's the next thing that I have to watch when I finish watching what I'm watching, kind of thing. I never finish watching what I'm watching.
I have about 5 or 6 programmes that are always on the list.
Yeah.
But something will come out and go ahead of it. So yeah, they're there perpetually to the point where I've...
Or when you're finally around, about to sit down and watch it, you get a phone call and you have to go somewhere.
Yes. I watched The Bling Ring on it was made into a film 7 or 8 years ago. It's a documentary on Netflix. Interested any listeners who've watched it? 086 60 25,000. It's about teenagers that started robbing celebrity houses in Hollywood, and how they came to do it, and the people involved have got good access to it, and conflicting stories and all that kind of stuff. It's another one of those kind of talking head ones, but there's a bit of reconstruction. It's not bad, but again...
Can you hear the interviewer?
No.
I knew it!
The producer's sitting there asking questions off mic, and I'm like, oh, don't do this to us. But anyway, I wonder...
We're like, our producer is outside, but he has a question. He's going to lean in the window.
The camera, just have a mic plugged into the camera and go, you know. But anyway, listen. Yeah. If anyone watched that, let us know. And I watched an absolutely terrible film on Amazon last night. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Please.
It's called Shattered. And it was trying to be a cross between like Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct, Misery. And it's just so cliched
Misery.
And terrible. You might actually enjoy it. So, no, because it's so corny and cliched.
You could
because you like your B films.
Oh, I do.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, cheesiest.
Sometimes you want to, whereas it doesn't tax you.
Yes.
So it's like, there's no surprises. I knew this was coming.
It's like one of the characters... when they turn bad, all of a sudden their head tilts to one side and there's a smile and they start speaking like this. And I'm thinking, right, is this a joke? No, it's not. Anyway,
I really love it.
I think it's called Shattered. But anyway, it was past an hour and a half, but I wish I had passed it another way. Shall we take a quick break and then we'll talk about the celebration of Father Ted coming up at the Bala. We're in the company of Michael Leddy, writer and blogger, Conor Malone, manager at the Bala Theatre, and you at home, at work, wherever. Get involved in the conversation. Give us a call on 07491 25,000 or text WhatsApp 086 60 25,000. More from the gents in just a moment.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And it's time to wish Eugene McNulty in St. Johnson a very happy birthday. This is coming in for you, Eugene, from daughter Eugenia, Peter, Owen and Marley in Dublin. And another request for you, Eugene, this time coming in from Paddy and all the crew in Derry. Watch The Swarm on Sky. The animals of the sea fight back against humanity. Enjoyed it up until the end. Set up for second season. Haven't seen or heard anything about that. Okay. Let me see. Hi, I'm sending an email in the hope that you might very kindly advertise that the Clohan Centre in Glenfinn is hosting a quiz in aid of the Donegal Galway Cancer Bus Service. It's tonight at 9 p.m. We're a charity and we know how important it is to keep and help local services. So if you're interested in the quiz tonight at 9 o'clock in the Clohan Centre. No, it's not in the Clohan Centre, is it? Yep. The Clohan Centre in Glenfinn is hosting, it is there. It's hosting a quiz in aid of the Galway, Donegal Galway Cancer Bus Service. A listener says, hi Greg, can you please ask Connor, when is the Balor going to stop putting on more family children shows? If we want to see children shows, we often have to go to An Grianann, the Aileen Strabane or the Ard Down in Enniskillen. It's such a pity when there's such a nice theatre in our own town. Love the show. Thanks. Okay. So.
Funny you should mention that, because on this Sunday at 3 p.m., we are hosting auditions for our summer youth musical. We used to do a summer youth musical every year. Mm-hmm. This is actually the first one since 2019. So it's the first one in 4 years, thanks to COVID. So anybody that is aged 13 plus, so 13 to about 18, 19, if you're interested, either lead parts, chorus parts, if you want to help out backstage, auditions are 3 o'clock this Sunday, and the musical itself will run in the first week of August.
All right, so it's a small enough window. It's going to be intense.
Yeah. It is an intense rehearsal period, but it's great. You could have up to like 60, 70 teenagers from the local community. Yeah. And I mean, this is their summer. You know, you're 3-4 days a week rehearsing.
Brilliant.
There's a live band with it. You're rehearsing with them as well.
So do we know which musical it is at this point?
Yes, it's a new musical that we've written ourselves.
Oh, cool.
Now, it's using existing 50s and 60s music.
Yeah.
But the actual, the book, the script is brand new. We've written ourselves.
Excellent. So that's Sunday, you just roll up?
That's this Sunday, just roll up at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
We also have coming in as part of the Airgill Art Festival in July, a show I'm really looking forward to called The Amazing Bubble Man.
Mm-hmm.
And... look up the promo video for The Amazing Bubble Man on YouTube and you will see it's amazing. And he is a bubble man, you know, but it is amazing.
It does what it says on the tin.
Exactly. Right, okay. It's the Ron Seal title.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, now, also coming up, celebrations of Father Ted in the ballet. What's this about? Well, yes, I mean, what's this about? But how tell us the structure of it.
Yeah, that's tonight. It's hosted by Joe Rooney, who played Father Damo in, he was the... sort of the other novice priest that came and led Dougal astray. So, there's Joe, first and foremost, he's one of Ireland's longest and most revered stand-up comics. I mean, he was back in the old International Bar days, and arguably there wouldn't be a stand-up scene in Ireland without Joe. So, I mean, Joe on his own is worth your money, you know. But then they do all sorts of things, like there's a lovely girls competition. There's a dancing priests competition, so there's lots of audience interaction. I'm sure there's going to be a My Lovely Horse sing-along, and I'd be very disappointed if they didn't end with an All Rise for the National Anthem and play Ghost Town. So it's a sort of an interactive nostalgia manic Father Ted trip.
How did Father Ted, do you think, manage to... I mean, there's lots of shows of popularity at their time, and then they cease. But this is maintained. It's the references, still the lovely girls and the... You know what I mean? What is it? Because the only thing I can think a little bit like is a wee bit like Fawlty Towers, but I think Father Ted even more so.
Yeah, I think the humour was so off the wall that it has this timeless quality to it. Because I remember watching bits of Father Ted and never getting it and going, I don't see what people see in this. And I actually remember I was in a friend's house one night and I remember the line and then everything clicked and it was... Dougal said something about the Pope, and Ted goes, Dougal, the Pope is God's representative on earth. And Dougal goes, you'd think he'd be taller. And after that, all the absurd humour just clicked and made sense for me. But I think it's because of the absurdity of the humour, it's not rooted in anything really topical, and it just gives it this timeless quality.
Mm. Yep. Is it show that you...
Oh yeah, I'm actually on the cusp of starting another rewatch.
Yeah.
I lined it up kind of and I only finished a rewatch a couple of years ago. I think the thing about Ted is, and I agree with everything that's been said before, but I think it's very rewatchable. I think, and that's where it also stands up there with Fawlty Towers, which I also rewatched and finished recently. It stands up. I mean, there's good shows that they're funny and all, like a lot of American sitcoms, and I'm a fan of them, but they're not... you don't immediately want to go back 5, 10, 15 years later and rewatch them. Parks and Rec was a great show. Great show, but I'm not driven to rewatch any of the episodes. There's some shows that really pay when you rewatch them. Ted is one of those. You go back and revisit it 5-10 years later, you'll just see stuff and it'll seem fresh.
Do you think Dairy Girls will have the same longevity?
I don't know. I haven't seen that one yet at all, so
what
I don't
know. What do
you think,
Connor?
No.
Ah. Just won't. I mean, obviously it was big, but it won't just...
It was big. I think Dairy Girls is more of a time or a place, and it's that's not a criticism.
No, it's hugely popular.
And I just wonder in 10 years down the line, will it resonate the way it did? My hunches, no.
Yeah, okay. Celebrations of Father Ted in the Ballor tonight. Tickets
tonight,
available.
8 p.m. Tickets available, yeah.
At the box office.
07491-31840.
You can turn up on the night.
You can turn
well.
Up on
okay,
the night.
Okay, right, brilliant. There's capacity there, yeah. there. All right, okay. Let us go now to Star Trek Lower Decks on Amazon.
Yes. So this, I am coming to the end of the second season of this.
Are they running out of things to do Star Trek's about now? This is Lower Decks, so we're not in...
Yeah, it's basically, well, it's the Lord, it's the people who don't get to go on the exciting missions.
Right, so they are running out of...
Yeah, it's a half-hour comedy series.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and right. it's an animated show very much in the style of the right, great okay. Futurama or...
Animated?
Oh, it's an animated show, okay, yeah, it's an animated show. There's three Star Trek animated shows, one from the 70s and two that are currently in production. The two that are in production at the moment are brilliant. One of them is a serious drama... And this one is just a flat-out comedy. But what makes it, and it's on Amazon, what makes it interesting is it still adheres, loosely, but it adheres to the rules of Star Trek. Mm. It fits into the timelines. It doesn't deviate things too much from what could happen in a live-action episode. And what's very exciting about it at the moment is the two leads on this are actually crossing over into Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is about to come back for season two. But it's going to be their live-action versions. The real actors are going to appear in the episode.
They're not going to have cartoons walk on
no,
the screen.
No, but they are going to have some of the episode animated. Great. Well, they actually are.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they losing the run of themselves, though? I mean,
no.
It's not absolutely exhausting a
no.
franchise, no?
No,
you can't
it's
exhausted because you can have Star Trek Holodeck.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can go going. Anywhere you want anywhere. Forever.
I would say critics and fans have embraced this and Strange New Worlds. It's more creative and more exciting than Star Trek has been in years because some of the shows they had, like Discovery and the early seasons of Picard, were terrible, but they seem to have found their mojo. The bottom line for Lower Decks is the three seasons are up. I've seen two of the three seasons. It's very funny. It's really funny. Okay. And it works on... It's not so much whether you care about the Star Trek elements, but you can watch it because... The main guy is this insecure character who's striving for promotion. He cares too much about everything that happens around him and cares about the littlest things. His best mate, she doesn't care about anything. They're a great partnership. You know, that's a lot of these comedies, whether it's Red Dwarf, whether it's Ted.
He does like his cliches, doesn't he?
Yeah. But it's
this
like,
is this buddy cop movie.
Yes. But it's like, it works. I know what you did. But
you're suspended from the force.
And you got 48 hours to clear your name.
Go visit
but it works
club.
Because they're polar opposites, but they are best friends, and it's very funny, and it brings in a lot of like they had a character called Badgie on the holodeck, who was based on. Do you remember that annoying paperclip that used to appear on Microsoft products years ago?
Yeah,
can I help you?
Yeah.
So Badgie is voiced by one of the guys from 30 Rock, but he's somewhat deranged, so he pops up on the holodeck. And the safety protocols are off, and he's like helping you, but he's like, let me teach you a lesson. And they basically have an episode where Badgie is trying to kill them. So if you like the idea of the paperclip that used to annoy you in Microsoft products 25 years ago coming after you to kill you, then this type of Star Trek humor would work. It's a brilliant show. It gets better every season. If you like Futurama,
do you think people
love Futurama.
Who watched Voyager or something will watch this?
Yes.
Or will it be a certain type of Star Trek fan?
No, I think it's already coming back for its fourth season this year. It has been embraced. Like
Vulcans won't like it.
The Vulcans won't like it. It has been embraced. No, I mean, it has. I think, broadly speaking, Star Trek fans are probably more accepting than Star Wars fans who hate everything. Like, meet Star Wars. Well, they do. I know people, I won't name check them on air, who will say to me, Michael, do you watch Star Wars? And I'll say, I don't really. And then they'll talk for 20 minutes about what's wrong with all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, but your life is like the conflict between Star Trek, Star Wars, Android, Apple.
It is.
You know, those universes thingamajigs with the superheroes in them. You know, Marvel versus...
I have taught him well,
Marvel
Connor.
Versus
he almost can say Marvel and DC. He knows they exist.
But this
he doesn't quite...
You love it.
I do. I love it. Yeah, I love it. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I think, no, fans will embrace it. And if you're not even that into Star Wars, or Star Trek, sorry, but if you loved, I mean, I'm sure everybody loved Futurama. Futurama was brilliant. Bender.
So do you think Star Trek watchers are Republic or Democrats?
Do you know what might be really therapeutic for you? It's just start supporting a football team or something. Get all that tribalism
out
of you.
Oh, wow, yeah. I could do that, actually. Yeah.
I think you'd end up being really violent and getting banned from a football
ground. Oh, you'd be one of the ultras.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good show. It's on Amazon. It's worth watching, and it's going to be cool in a couple of weeks this summer, because you're going to get to see... I think that's an unusual thing. Yeah. The cartoon versions... The same actors, and luckily the animated characters are drawn to look, they were always drawn to look a bit like the actors. Mm. I think Disney do that as well, don't they? Mm. Disney do that as well. So,
and the tagline is Star Trek Lower Decks goes boldly goes where no Star Trek has gone before.
Yes, really, yeah, that's what, yeah, yeah. And it all started many years ago on the original Next Generation. There was an episode of Next Generation back in the early 90s which put the focus on four guest characters who were like sitting... in the canteen, as it were, in Tin Forward, just saying about, oh, I wonder what they're doing down on that planet. Well, anyway, I better go and clean the conference room. So there was always this idea, and fans were like, well, why don't we focus on those characters, the ones who don't get to do anything exciting and don't know, like, they know there's a ship outside attacking us, but we're like, who's attacking us? No one tells them. So this guy,
it is kind of interesting.
It's funny. Well, yeah.
I think maybe if it was live action, I'd probably be more interested.
Yeah. Well, you don't watch. Well, look, here's the question, right?
No, so I watched Love Voyager and the.
No, but do you watch any of the? Like, are you? Did you watch Futurama? No.
Ish. Yeah. I went through a spell where it or The Simpsons was on at 7 o'clock in the evening, and I just watched it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I there was no appointment there, but I might have been. Eating my microwave dinner as it came.
I shared a house, man. A guy called Jerry, lovely guy down in Cork now. He that was his routine. He got in before 7.
Do you know what ruined Futurama and Simpsons for me?
Nothing.
TV dinners.
Family Guy.
Oh, Family Guy's great.
It was so edgy, right?
Yeah, very different. Yeah.
Went there. I found that even though there was some clever jokes in there, I found the likes of Futurama and The Simpsons sanitized almost.
Bland. Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought it was so on point, so mature, so pushing the barriers a wee bit, you know what I mean? Saying stuff you couldn't say. To go back to Homer having a row with Mr. Burns or something, it just felt like I was...
I know what you're saying, but I still... Of course, yeah, totally. But I still think, if nothing else, Bender. Bender is one of the great... comedy, like the episode where they open, like I quote somebody, but where they open the door and there's like a baby and like Leela is like, it looks like a baby, and Bender is like, I'll kill it. It's like, it's just,
there was so much in Family Guy that you could not have got away with live action.
Yeah.
It could only have worked as a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
And the chicken fights, which were spectacular. Remember when they used to get into the random fights and they'd go on for like 10 minutes?
Yeah. They'd ran
never explained
anti-Semitic
it.
Jokes like at that point or something, yeah.
So good.
Do they still make The Simpsons?
They do.
Okay.
It's in season 149.
Yeah. 1,032.
Yeah, something like that.
Right, okay. Ron Hill Rallying, in association with the Letterkenny Community Childcare Facility Rebuilding Fund, presents a pre-Donegal International Rally event. It's this Sunday, the 11th of June, at St. Eunan's GEA pitch in Letterkenny. Among the panel will be Callum Devine, Gary Jennings, David Bogie, Kevin Eves and more. Rally cars will be on display from 5 p.m. with free ice cream and face painting for the kids and Michael. The rally discussion and crack gets underway at 7 p.m. For more details, see the Ron Hill Rallying Facebook page. Admission is at the door on the night. That's going to be well attended there. Something for the young ones in the family and for the older ones as well. Now, would you like to win a 4-course tasting menu and paired wines for 4 people? Well, here's your how you can. We've teamed up with the award-winning Before restaurant in Stranorlar on the main street there, and they want to give one lucky winner the chance to win a delicious 4-course tasting menu and paired wines for 4 people. With natural, wood-fired cooking, organic, biodynamic wines and local craft beer, everything's cooked on charcoal or wood fires like in times before. No gas or electricity is used in their kitchen. The interiors and concept of the restaurant were inspired by the idea of fusing the old with the new. Elements of the restaurant honour ancient Ireland or times before modern living. like long communal style dining tables to encourage a sense of community, although they have lots of individual tables too. The tables themselves are native ancient Irish wood types, handmade with live edging made by the owner, Niall Jackson, and designed with inspiration from the local landscape. Now, for your chance to win, go to our Facebook page, Highland Radio, at Highland Radio Donegal on Instagram, and follow the instructions to enter. Winner will be selected today at 4 o'clock. And it's only either one of those pages, by the way, that will contact you to tell you you are a winner. Who can forget Kevin Sharkey was in it when asked a question by Ted? Sure, how would you know? I'm from Donegal. By the way, Greg, with all this good weather, less telly has been watched, but I'm reminded me of Greg and his man Keeney. Maybe it's too much sun, but it's something you can't forget. And it's 29 Celsius next week. Kevin from Dunlop. Well, Kevin, I might actually just roll the straps of the Mankini down. So that's something for you to think of.
Great. Thanks for that image. Thanks a lot for that image.
Well, I don't want two strap lines, so I'll just really pretty much have the budgie smuggler in the straps hanging down.
It's not small, it's far away.
Right, thanks. I can't get that image out of my own head. That's how worrying it is.
Your weekend ruined.
Right, Treme.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, it's like, you know, I never watch that, and it's current, and I'm always watching this old stuff. And you know, I love The Wire. So Treme is made by David Simon after he made The Wire. I think it's 2010 was season one, and it's set in New Orleans post Katrina, and it's brilliant. For a start, I'm only halfway through season one at the moment, and I absolutely love it. And it's got, similar to The Wire, it's got all these personal, really engaging stories of these characters, but it's all kind of woven into a broader tapestry about post-Katrina New Orleans. Treme was, you know, it's down the lower Ninth Ward, where a lot of the projects were, and you have this whole thing of, there's certain political slash business influencers that want to use this to get all the poor people out of that, because it's actually prime tourist real estate. So they want to replace the projects with...
It's like, don't waste a good crisis sort of a thing.
Exactly, exactly. The shock doctrine, Naomi Klein sort of thing. And what it also has as well, it's almost like when he was making this, Simon was kind of afraid that the New Orleans that he knew or loved would be lost. So it's a real homage to, I mean, if you like New Orleans jazz, it is full of it. Also that kind of carnival culture. And it's almost like, do you know in The Godfather? The Godfather was so long, but there was bits of it where it wasn't moving the story along, but it was recreating to give you the feel. And there's a real feeling of this about it, that you actually really go, my God, New Orleans was great, and you really appreciate the whole, the music, jazz elements, the carnival elements. You'll see there's a lot of familiar faces, if you're a Wire fan, that crop up. Wendell Pierce, who played Bunk in The Wire, he's a kind of trombonist, jazz trombonist, who's basically living from gig to gig.
So when was Katrina, and when did this go into production? I'm not putting you on the spot.
Katrina was about 2005, 2006.
Right, so he was onto it really quite quickly after that then. So.
Yeah, I think this was commissioned in about 2008. Mm. And the pilot was made in 2009, but wasn't actually broadcast till 2010.
Yeah.
And then, the first season then went out in 2010. But I mean, it's got everything, if you're familiar with David Simon, it's got everything that you'd expect with the brilliant characters. There's also kind of a overarching kind of social commentary, all mixed up into this just absolutely lovingly recreated aura of New Orleans jazz and New Orleans carnival.
It feels real then, does it? Because that's the thing about The Wire. It didn't feel like a documentary, don't get me wrong, but it didn't feel like a traditional TV program either.
No,
it was acted or presented or scripted. It felt very like there's a camera just capturing what these people are saying.
Yes.
Does it continue that kind of a...
It does, because, again, what he's done is he has brought in New Orleans writers, New Orleans newspaper people. There's a character in it played by John Goodman, who is based on an actual New Orleans vlogger, basically. Mm. He gets onto YouTube and rants about how the Bush administration have just deserted New Orleans and rants quite profanely, and he's walking down the street and people are starting to go, yes, I your show, man. He's like, he thought he was talking to about three people, you know. Even the every episode, there's a few recurring musicians who are actual New Orleans musicians, and I've no doubt that another another element of making this was to make sure these people survived and you know, get them back up to where they were.
How long did it
Katrina.
Run for, Connor? Do
we ran for four seasons. Right. Four seasons, 36 episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, by today's standards, it's not a marathon.
It sounds like one of those shows that you've gone, oh my, I've stumbled on something here and I've got four series to enjoy this unfold.
Yeah, because I vaguely remember probably about 10 years ago, a friend of mine recommended it to me because they knew I liked David Simon. Also, the music would be right up my street. Mm-hmm. And it was always kind of in the back of my head. It was one of these things I never got around to watching. And actually what happened, I think the last time I was in here, I was saying that I was going to rewatch The Wire, but I was kind of afraid to in case it wasn't as good as
exactly
I remember.
What you said,
I watched it and it was even better.
Right.
And then I went, right, I'm watching Tremé now. Yeah.
Have you seen Tremé?
One of my all time favourite shows.
Right, okay.
Superb. I think
you recommended this.
I think way back years ago. Yeah, it did run four seasons. I finished it off. I can say
it's quite heavy going.
It's heavy, but it's worth
it. Not in a negative way.
No.
Just to set it up for people.
It gets better. I mean, I think season two is better than one, three's better. I think it ends brilliantly. It's a I absolutely endorse everything you've said. It's so worth watching.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so it's in for
it's
a
so
treat.
Good. Some of my favourite characters haven't even appeared yet for you.
Right,
like,
brilliant.
But they're brilliant. I love Kim Dickens in that. She's the chef.
Yes.
I love her arc. I think it's an amazing
arc.
So
what is this story? Right, to break it down in simple terms, is it about people's lives in general?
Yeah,
very
is
much
it
so.
Their struggles?
Very much so.
Is it their...
It's a bunch of people, yeah. I mean, I'll try and put it differently, but the same way. It's a bunch of people who just share the city, but they don't know each other, which is fascinating. And you're always like, oh, but that guy doesn't know her, and she doesn't, you know, there's a lawyer, and there's some people, there's a married couple and stuff. So you get to jump around and you see... So the main character in the show is the city. There's no common denominator beyond that. And
they just happen to characters populate this character.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you get this flavour of, you know, you get different... Yeah. I think.
But you get really invested in their own personal stories as well. I mean, the chef, deeply in debt in the restaurant, fantastic chef, and she's trying to keep the restaurant going. You have the trombone player who, obviously, you know, the gigs have dried up and he's literally hand on mouth from gig to gig. You have a bar owner whose brother was arrested just before Katrina and now is completely lost and missing in the system. You have the John Goodman character who's the V-logger. You have another guy, he was in The Wire, he played Lester Freeman in The Wire, and he's a New Orleans Indian chief, and he's determined that they will be back for the carnival that year. So you have all these different stories.
And I think the word that keeps coming into my head is, and it's obviously what it had to be because of the serious subject matter, and it was almost live, although, you know, a few years later, authenticity. Like, they had to be authentic of it.
Yes, in the same way it has that with The Wire.
You know,
it prides itself. And
well, you felt
also,
like you were in Baltimore, didn't you? I mean, you kind of felt like you knew it.
And also, as I say, in this case, so Baltimore... It was that kind of right edgy, gritty authenticity, and you have that here as well. Mm. But you also have this, as I say, almost like he was afraid it was going to vanish. You have this loving homage to the authenticity of the New Orleans music scene, you know.
And how it's all intertwined, isn't it?
And there's a feeling of love off this didn't necessarily get off The Wire.
I know what you mean.
And you're right. Yeah. I think one thing about there is so much music, as Connor said, but it's like. When artists are playing, they get the scene. It's not like there's dialogue over it. The camera just moves over and you get to see an entire performance. You spend maybe 5 minutes with an artist.
At the gig.
And it does that every episode.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're like...
You're completely immersed
in this world. You're like... As somebody who's never been to New Orleans, but after 4 years, you're like... Oh, I get it why it's so important.
You can nearly taste the gumbo.
It's quite... You get it. I have a friend who...
Let me ask you, because Connor hasn't seen it yet, and then we have to take a very quick break.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in a fifth series now, catching up on the characters, if that's doable.
Ooh, what an idea.
In what New Orleans actually become and how they fit into this.
I'm going to tweet David.
That's
Simon
such an idea. That is wow. Brilliant. That's like when.
Remember they did that 7 up, 14 up, 21? Remember those documentaries? Yeah.
Do you remember when Deadwood? Remember Deadwood came back? Remember they did a movie? They did a movie. That's a really brilliant idea.
It is. Mm.
I would, of course, be on board with it. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Listen, I've actually finally said something that's interesting. Right. that was from Connor's vault. It's Treme. I suspect that you might have to dig around on the internet to find this. It's not. Is it currently streaming? I don't.
Yeah.
Don't think
anywhere
you've
access
it.
To a HBO library, you know, it's a HBO box set.
Okay. Happy days. Yeah. Right. There you go. Treme. T R E M E. And often you can open it up and actually just add it to your watch list in case you might forget what we're talking about. Both Connor and Michael. Connor halfway through season one. Michael having consumed all of it. Both rate it extremely highly.
10 out of 10.
Right, just to let you know that two places are available for our trip to see Tom Jones at Belsonic Festival in Belfast. It's next Friday, the 16th of June. It's €249 per person sharing. To book, give us a call here at the station, 07491 25000. Do you want to go and see Tom Jones in Belfast? Well, we can get you there, get your tickets and get you home. $249 per person sharing. Give us a call, 086 60 25000. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show. We are very close to the end of it. We are going to say good morning now, hopefully, to Alan O'Reilly of Carlo Weather. Are you there, Alan?
I am indeed, Greg. How are you?
Great to have you on board again. Thanks so much for joining us. All right, so what's the weather for the Northwest for the weekend and into next week then? Is it any less predictable than it has been?
Yeah, unfortunately it has changed or is changing with that remnants of Storm Oscar that hit the Canaries in Spain, bringing low pressure up towards us. So you're enjoying the best of the sunshine, I think, really much of this afternoon and this evening. Cloud is increasing from the south. However, we're going to lose that northeasterly breeze, which will warm up the north coast nicely. So it's going to turn warm and humid. Winds are going to go suddenly. But we're also going to get some more unstable air with showers. Now, the showers are really hard to forecast, going to be very hit and miss. I know some areas crying out for rain and others won't want it for the spoil the weekend. It'll probably work out that the ones that want it don't get it and the ones that don't want it get it, because it is hard to forecast the showers. But temperatures increasing and becoming very humid, especially at night time as well. Temperatures not dropping below maybe 13 or 14 degrees at night. There will be sunny spells, especially on Sunday, but also those local and possibly even thundery showers. So it's not kind of the kind of weather you like, because it's going to go from, you know, very warm and sticky to a shower and back to warm and sticky again. But watch out for the showers. Next week, it's going to be warm and getting warmer. Temperatures getting up to 25, 26 degrees by the middle of the week. But still a risk of showers. So unsettled, but warm and humid is the general consensus.
Pleasant, but not unbroken sunshine.
No, unfortunately, the blue skies are going to leave us. And it's going to become kind of, it's funny, we're going to lose the blue skies, but it's going to get warmer. So we're going to have cloud, but much more warmer, warm air. And that nice sea breeze that many of us that don't like the heat loved last 2 weeks is going to leave us as well.
All right, okay. Cheers for that. Alan, thank you very much indeed. Have a lovely day. That's Alan O'Reilly there. Carlo Weather, you can follow him on social media and get all the maps and charts and predictions and what have you. And the good thing I like about it, it's not Dublin-focused like some other weather forecasts can be. Anything nice planned for the weekend, Connor? I don't think we've anything time to dig into anything unless you want to go really quickly on Sweeney Todd. Is that coming up this weekend?
No, I've seen it.
Right, okay, we can come back to that.
We'll come back to it.
Was it good?
Yeah, thumbs up. I'll try and enjoy it.
Any Sunday, 3 o'clock, auditions for the youth musical?
And celebration of Father Ted tonight at 8, musical at 3, and I think that's about my weekend.
That's all right. What about you, Mike?
Monster Hurling final.
Yeah.
Have to watch the Monster Hurling
final.
Okay,
cool.
I had no plans whatsoever, but then I met Fionnuala on the way in here, and she informed me that I'm going to see Transformers in cinema, so that's my.
In 3D?
I don't know what Fionnuala wants to.
What would your preference be?
I. Yeah, okay, 3D.
It's supposed 3D. To be good in 3D because they slide out the screen and stuff.
A spoiler.
Yeah, well, listen, it's in the trailer. All right, thanks so much, Conor Malone. We really appreciate you coming up to us. He's manager of the Ballet Theatre. Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Thanks
great
to
fun.
All of you for being involved in the conversation. Just to let you know that John Breslin and team are broadcasting live today from Foy & Company, Port Road, Letterkenny, taking place today and tomorrow. Foy and Company are having their Creating Colourful Homes event, the largest paint suppliers in the Northwest with extensive knowledge of what paint suits. Book a free paint consultation with the team today. There are some great prizes up for grabs in store and on air, so be sure to tune in. Go down and say hello to them if you're about as well. All right, have a great weekend.